everybody do today?
Good.
Good? Praise God. Hey, let me just ask the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts.
Okay, everyone can hear me? All right, awesome. Let me invite the Holy Spirit once again. Father God, we just love you, Lord. We love you so much. Father God, we just invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill this place once again. Our hearts are hungry. Our hearts are looking for you, Lord, once again, just to bring your word, to convict our hearts, transform us from the inside out. God, we love you so much, for you first loved us, and you proved it what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us. God, help us right now to be listening for what you want to say through your word. Father God, and I would ask the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, to be pleasing to you this day. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to start off today by just giving you, asking you a question, okay? When you think about what people prefer, do people prefer things that are small or things that are big? Big, usually, right? We all prefer like the bigger slice of pizza, right? The bigger hamburger, right? The bigger Big Gulp, right? We always want things that are generally bigger. Well, you know, the place where I come from, Texas, is known for, you know, Texan is, likes to say, you know, it's always bigger in Texas, okay? And so, you know, they like to talk about how they have bigger houses, the bigger cars, they have they're bigger buffets, they even have bigger cows, you know? And you can see from here, right? 72-ounce steak. That's a little bit big, yeah? So, you know, Texans like it big also, you know? But, you know, the thing is, you know, God likes things big, right? God does like some things big, you know? Because, you know, God wants to do big things in each of your lives. Definitely. Absolutely. But, you know, sometimes the thing is, we get into this mindset where, oh, if it's big, it must be good, right? And if it's small, maybe God's not in that, right? But I want you to consider that God likes things that are small, too. In fact, God especially likes small beginnings. When something is just starting, that's when God really likes to use those things for his purposes, right? You know, you think about Gideon. Right? In the Old Testament. I mean, he was supposed to go against this army of tens of thousands, right? And God stripped that army down and made it small, as small until it was 300 people coming against tens of thousands. Why? Was God a bad strategist? Was he a bad general? No, because he knew that he alone had the power to bring victory. And then when God would begin with something small, he would get greater glory in the end, right? So they wouldn't say, oh, Gideon, man, he's a good fighter. That's why they won. He didn't want anyone to steal his glory. You look at someone like Moses, right? A murderer. Someone who's prideful. Someone who was just a shepherd. And he raised him up, right? And he was able to be used by God to set a nation free, right? Or you look at Jesus Christ. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When he came, he was not born in a palace, right? He was not born surrounded by opulence, right? He was born in a stable. A very humble place. Small beginnings, okay? God gives favor to small beginnings. And I want you to be thinking about that, you know? God really likes to take big things, and he starts really small. You know, we think about big things in this world. I was thinking about, I guess there's a game going on today, right? Versus what? 49ers versus Ravens. The Ravens, right, yeah. And when I was doing some research on the teams, right, I guess... Super Bowl guys are all pretty big. Would you agree? Yeah. Right? Not too many small guys. I think the average size is 6'1", okay? But I wonder which is the biggest guy on both of these teams. And I found this guy, Maake Kimoyatu, okay? He's 6'5", 364 pounds, okay? Anybody think they can take him? He's a big guy, right? And if he was staying in this room, he would be scraping the ceiling, okay, with his head, okay? But you know what? Even though he's that big, you know, he has small beginnings, right? I mean, he may be playing the Super Bowl. He may be the champion at the end of the day. Who knows, okay? But the thing is, he started off really small. My son, Joseph, can you stand up? That's my boy, okay? My boy Joseph, I'm so proud of him, man. So he's 14 years old, and he's a big boy now, you know? But I remember when he came out 14 years ago, okay, with my wife Tina, I was able to hold him in my arm like this, you know? I could just do easy curls with him, you know? I didn't do that. But I mean, he was so small, and now he's so big, and he's growing up to be a godly man. But you know, I understand how God likes to start with small things and grow it and grow into something so, so great, okay? You know, let me tell you a quick story too. It's kind of related. I remember when my daughter was born. Steffi, can you raise your hand? Yeah, okay. 10 years ago, okay? And I remember she was born on Friday, and I was preaching on Sunday. And so they didn't have a lot of time to prepare, you know, the bulletin, yeah? But they tried, you know. And so I remember I preached, and they announced, new child, Stephanie, was born. Everybody talking, yeah. Well, I was walking around the church later on, and we had multiple services, and I wasn't preaching in this one service, but I came by, it was like the end of the service, they're making announcements. And I was listening in, and they're saying, oh yeah, by the way, Pastor Walton had a brand new child, Stephanie. And you know, she was 9 pounds, so she was a big girl. She was bigger than Joe when he was born. But somehow they made a mistake, and they said, oh, his new daughter was born a few days ago. She's 19 pounds, okay? And I hear all the parents going, oh, that's the poor woman. And I was like, 9 pounds, 19. But you know, anyway, I just tell a story. You know, we tend to like things big, but you've got to keep in mind, you know, we should not look down on things because they're small. In fact, there's a verse. I want you to take a look at with me real quick. It's in Zechariah. It's in your bulletin. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. And it's on the screen too, right? Okay, and basically it's saying, you know, who has despised the day of small beginnings, right? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, okay? But what's the context of this? Zechariah was a prophet in the Old Testament. He was someone that spoke for God, okay? And the thing is that you have to think of the context. At this time in history, Israel, who is God's people, was supposed to receive all these blessings from God so that they could go into the world and tell people about how good their God is. And there was a promise made between God and the people. And he said, you know, listen to me, trust me, obey me, okay? And God would do all these things. But you know what Israel did? They walked away. They turned their backs to God. They didn't listen. And God then sent more prophets and said, hey, please come back. Come back to me because I love you so much. Listen to me. I am your Lord and God. But Israel once again didn't listen. And finally, the prophets are saying, you know, God will send them warning. You do not turn back. I'm going to have to get your attention. I'm going to send in an enemy of the nation to come in, take over you, and take you out of the land that I gave you. And the people, once again, did not listen. And God allowed the Babylonians, which is an ancient empire, to come in and to do the unthinkable, to be able to defeat God's own possession, his own people. So they came in and they took them away. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city. And you know, the time when Zechariah is writing is many, many years later. And now the people of God, Israel, is allowed to come back after all this time. And they're coming back. And you know what? They're so glad to be back in the land. But when they look at the temple, they look at the city. It's all destroyed. It's all in ruins. You know, it's like we had a war. When the enemy came by, took us away. But before they left, they destroyed this building. Wiped out everything that we think is so, we're so proud of. And when we finally come back, 70 years later, 80 years later, we're like, oh, it's all rubble. And yet God was saying, I want you to rebuild the temple, the city. Okay. In Zechariah 4, okay, God is trying to tell them, don't despise, don't look down on the day of small beginnings. Because what God is putting into motion, it may seem small now, but you just trust the Lord. Mighty things, great things are on the way, okay? In fact, the name of the prophet here, the names of the prophets usually matter significantly. Zechariah's name means God remembers. Does it make a difference to you that God remembers his promises to you? The things that he's spoken to you, he remembers. And that's what he wanted those people to know. You know, let me show you another another thing. Another example in the Bible. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 31. Let's just read this together, okay? It says, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Okay, it starts off by talking about a mustard seed. Anybody know, anybody ever see a mustard seed before? One or two people? Okay, yeah. You know, how about Big Macs? Anybody see a Big Mac before? Ooh. Oh, okay. Yeah. The people who like the fried bacon. Yeah. you know what? On the Big Mac, it's sesame seeds on the sesame seed bun, right? A mustard seed is, I think, around that size, even smaller than that. Because they say it's 1/20th of an inch. Okay, so an inch is like, not that big, right? 1/20th, all right? But the thing is, you know, and the farmers back then, Israel, understood what a mustard seed was like. It was one of the smallest seeds. And yet they knew that when they plant the seed, in a few years, there would be a bush, a tree that could be up to 20 feet, right? You know what? That's a lot. You know, I calculated the numbers, and it's like almost 5,000 times bigger, okay? Remember? You know, we looked at the picture of Malke, the guy on the ravens. I mean, I'm sure he's big. I mean, he's like probably 10 times bigger than he was when he was a little kid. But this is 5,000 times. And God is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God. When Jesus came into this world, he was ushering not just himself and salvation. He was ushering in the kingdom of God. The rulership of God. Because you know what? The world was not fully under God's control. And God wanted to bring in his kingdom into this world. Now, the kingdom of God is here, but not quite fully here. Okay, you can tell. I mean, there's still places where evil is running rampant. But God is now establishing his rule through the people of God. There is something big afoot here than we even imagined. God allowed Jesus to be here to usher in this kingdom. So the darkness would begin to recede. Even as when the dawn arises, the light begins to chase out the darkness. This is his intent. And he's saying that it may start small, a sliver of light. But in the end, the dawn is going to overtake the darkness. That is what is coming. And he says he starts with a seed. It can become so big. You know, the mustard tree, I had a picture here, you know. Think about how small it is. And yet in a few years, it grows up big and powerful. And you know, it's not just what you see here. Because they said that for every foot of height, the roots go three times as wide. Okay? So 20 feet up, you see there's actually 60 feet of roots. And the branches are three times too. The branches go out 60 feet, okay? I'm just giving you a feel what Jesus is trying to communicate. Small beginnings in the kingdom can become enormous. Great and powerful things, okay? I want to focus, being very practical, to talk to you about some new things you may want to consider in your life this year. I want to talk to you about setting goals, right? Setting goals. You know, recently, you know, it just turned 2013, not that long ago, right? And I'm sure some of you, you guys probably made a lot of New Year's resolutions, right? And that's good, okay? And you know, I want to encourage you to set some spiritual goals in your life. So important. Because, you know, you may think like, I'm not the kind of person that sets goals. You know, I kind of live day by day. You know, doesn't matter. Some of you are goal-oriented, right? Before breakfast, you've already accomplished 20 major goals. Okay, great, great, more power to you, okay? Some of you don't have that many goals, but you know, you have a few things that you want to do in life. I want to encourage you that you would begin to have spiritual goals, things that the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart to look at. You know what a goal is? A goal is basically a bullseye, a target in your life that you want to, by faith, not in your own willpower, but by faith, that you want God to do in your life, that you want to strive toward. It's just a target, okay? And we need to have that. You know, there was a website a few years ago, I think it was called My Goals. And on that website, people would go on and write down, this is my goal in life, okay? Mm-hmm. And I remember there's a picture from a few years ago, 27% of the goals were about health. You know, they want to get, you know, lose some weight, they want to build some muscle and all this stuff, right? 15% of the goals on the website that people would share with the world, 15% was personal goals. Another 15% was finances. Another 9% was professional goals, and then you know 5% was about trying to have better relationships. You know how much percent people had spiritual goals? In the grand picture, it was less than 1%. Less than 1%. People had, even people that wanted to have goals, when they try to think about what they want to accomplish this year, less than 1% thought it was important enough to try to build up their spiritual man. And I want to encourage you, as people of God, that we would have some goals. That not once, it's not about my willpower, it's not about my strength, but it's by faith. By faith, you can say, oh God, I want to aim for this target. You know, because if I don't have a target, you know, if I shoot an arrow, it's going to land anywhere. Okay? I want to aim for that goal so that God, by faith, you can begin to do something. And I want to encourage you. So what does it mean? I want to talk to you about three goals today, okay? There's a verse that I want you to read first. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." How many people here would say they know that God has plans for them? Okay? Yeah. You know what? If God has plans for you, that means He's got some goals in your life. Don't you think you should try to listen and see what those goals are, right? I mean, if God has a plan for you, do you think He's just going to kind of just sweep in like a wind and just blow you along, right? Or the things that He needs you to be listening, and you say, yes, yes, Father, and you walk in that direction toward that target, toward that goal. I tell you, that's what God wants to do, all right? That's what God wants to do. And so I have three goals I want you to consider with me today, okay? First one. Right? We have goals for growing spiritually. You can take notes on the back of your bullet if you want. The first one is this, is that we learn to listen for God's voice. We learn to listen for God's voice. Why is this so important? It's so important because ultimately, Christianity is not just a religion. Okay? Because religion is about man trying to reach out to God. It's about man saying, oh, I need God, so I need to climb the mountain, I need to pray 7 times a day, I need to do all these things to get God to listen to me, right? That's what religion is. Christianity is the opposite. It's God reaching down to man, because He knows that man is so messed up and needs God so much, and there's nothing man can do in his own power to reach to God anyway. So God reaches down, and God does all He can. He sends His Son to die for us so that we can have a relationship with Him. See, it's not just about following a bunch of rules and regulations. When I was a young man, I wasn't a believer. I wasn't a believer until I was 20 years old. And I thought Christianity, all these religions about do's and don'ts, a bunch of rules. I said, I don't want any part of that. Okay? I don't want any part of that. But then when God finally got a hold of me, I realized, wow, there's a God that loves me. I can't believe that He loves me. I heard one time someone talk about it this way. He said, you know, in every other religion, you know, you have people setting a table for God. You know, they set the table. They put the food at the cemetery. They put the food before the idols. And they're setting a table for their God. But in Christianity, it's the opposite. Because God Himself, the Father, He adopts us into His family when we trust Him. And He lays a buffet before us. For His sons and for His daughters, He lays a bountiful feast before us. Because He wants us to know His goodness, to know His blessings. Our God is so good, all right? He's so good. And the thing is, if it's true that it's a relationship with Father God, then you know what? We cannot settle for just try. You know, when we look at the Word of God, we cannot look at it as just a bunch of do's and don'ts. We can't just look at it as we can't even look at it as just a bunch of principles. Now, are there principles we can learn from the Word of God? Absolutely. But the thing is, God is a personal God. And he does not want you to be like a scholar who says, okay, here's this book, I'm going to distill it down to like 4 or 5 main points. Okay, now I know the 4 or 5 points, okay, I'm good, okay? I just use my willpower and life will be good. No, we come to God by grace, by faith. And we live this life the same way as we live. Yes, he reveals his word through his will, his mind, his thoughts, through the Word of God. But you know what? We need to be listening every day. It's a personal relationship. And I try to communicate to Christians whenever I get a chance to preach, we need to get past simply trying to follow a bunch of rules. God loves us. He didn't die on the cross so that we would think like, oh, you know, we just read what God gave us and someday we'll see him face to face. You know what? God, if you let him, will want to speak into your life every single day. Everything that you struggle with, he wants to speak into it, and not just speak into it, but he wants you to know that he hears your heart. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. If I ask you, does God love you? Everyone would you say, yes, of course. But you know what? I want you to come to a place this year, every day, all through the day, where you know, you recognize the voice of our He loves you more. That love is so real. Let me tell you that. If you learn to listen, I tell you, your life will be revolutionized. Because you will go through this life and you will have no fear. Because God is with you. And that's not just a theological concept. You know because the Father told you that this morning. Right? And I want you to know that. You know, here's a great verse. John 10. Verse 2 to 5, and Jesus tells this story. He says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You know, if you ever have time to spend time with sheep, I don't know if you have. Apparently, sheep are not the most smartest creatures in the world, and they can get into trouble and they can wander away. But one good thing is, from what I understand of ancient, take care of sheep, the sheep know the voice of the person that leads them. You know, when they hear the voice of the shepherd, whatever they're doing, eating grass, they're like, and they start going toward the voice, right? If they hear a voice of a wolf, they go away from that voice, okay? They don't want that, okay? They listen to the voice of the shepherd, okay? And you know what? Jesus is describing our relationship with him, okay? So I'm not just making this up, you know? We need to be a people of the book, but a people even more who are listening for God's voice. And because we want to listen for his voice, that's why we make sure we know his word. Because that's one of the clearest ways to help us to hear his voice more clear. Okay? Let me tell you this. You know, when you go through your day, you may hear many voices in your head. One is maybe you. You know, you're just thinking, you're worrying about things, you're playing these thoughts in your head. But I tell you, there are other voices at play in the mindscape. There's also Satan. Satan will play in those thoughts. Maybe you've had the experience. I have it many times where I'm walking through and I get a thought that's like way out in left field. I'm like, what? What is that? You know? And usually it's trying to attack my calling. It's trying to attack my relationship with my wife. It's trying to do things to discourage me. And I'm thinking, where is that? And I have realized that is the voice of a stranger. That is one who's not trying to take care of me. But you know what? Sometimes I hear a voice that reminds me that God has a high calling in my life. Not because I'm special in and of my own, but because God simply loves me so much. You know? Now, how do I know this? Because I read His Word. So you know what? I read His Word now, not out of legalism, not out of because my pastor told me so, because I want to hear His voice. Amen. I want to be able to, when I get these voices in my head, I want to be able to say, that's a strange. But because I've read the Word, say, oh, that's the voice of the Lord. That's my shepherd. That's who I want to listen to. So now, I want to encourage you all. I know, you know, you guys, I talk to my brother and I'm like, I praise God for your church. God is doing some mighty things. And you know what? I know you're already listening to His voice, but I want to challenge you to listen even more. Let me tell you, there is more of God's His personal relationship He wants to bring into your life. More of that bounty, more of that tremendous blessing, okay? So speaking about goals, what are you going to do this year to help you to hear His voice better? What are you going to do to get into His Word? Because when you get into His Word, you know, it helps you to see the picture of God's face clear. It helps you to hear the heartbeat of God a little clear. Okay? You know? What are you going to do? Maybe you already have a quiet time. You know? You know, one of the things I do at my church, I encourage my church all the time. I say, you know what? When you study the Word of God, take some extra time and start to journal. Right? Write it down. Because you know what? Do you believe, how many people believe God speaks to them through the time and the Word? Anybody? If you really believe God's speaking to you, is it worth writing down? This is from the Lord? Really? And just write it down. And you know, you'll be surprised. I've been doing this for like 5-6 years. And I have all these things in the computer now. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, when I have to be reminded of God, I can just search the word grace. Or encouragement, and I'll pull up all the issues where I feel like God has spoken to me, and all of a sudden, all the promises of God, all the way He's spoken to me all these years come back. It's so powerful. And I want to encourage you, write it down, because you know, there comes a day when you may not feel like you can hear God clearly, but you can go back and remember what He has said. Okay, so that's very practical. Maybe read through the whole Word this year, you know, or focus on the New Testament, or begin to write things down. I want to encourage you, be practical. That's what a goal is, all right? Let me give you another thing. Second goal, share your life. Share your life, all right? Okay, there's a verse here, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. This is Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. You know what? People here, once again, you guys are, praise God for all this church is doing, you know? But I want to encourage you that, you know what? We live in times where there is a lot of darkness. And when I call you to share your life, it's not just so you can be a nice guy, you know, a nice brother, a nice sister to people. I'm saying that, you know, we need to bring the light of Christ into the, you know, our communities, okay? Into the world around us, all right? You know, in Austin, it is considered one of the most unchurched cities in the United States. I think Seattle is maybe one of the worst than us, right? But very few. And I remember challenging people, you know what? There's so many people. We have so many churches. Don't get me wrong. If you go to Austin, you get plenty of churches, okay? You go to this big church here, middle-sized church here, small church here, plenty. But that's not the issue. The issue is, are the people who are just trapped in the darkness, who have no interest at all, or are they coming to hear God's word? Okay. The thing is, it's very few. And I remember telling people, you know what? On a typical morning, you can wake up, step onto your porch, and you know what? You could look two houses down to your right, two houses down to your left, and probably they don't know Jesus Christ. And I don't know the numbers for Honolulu. I didn't look it up. But you know what? I bet you it's probably close to. You step out outside your house, probably, you know, a house next to you, a house on the other side, they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the peace and the joy that you know. They don't have the assurance that someday, when it comes to the end, that God is waiting with a mansion on the other side, waiting to greet them. And you know what? You are put in that neighborhood for a reason. Maybe you're that Christian in the midst of that darkness for a reason. I want to challenge you. You guys are ready. Oh, I praise God. The things you guys do throughout the week on Saturday are such a blessing. You don't know. Only someday in heaven you'll see how the 10 steps of faith you took had such a huge impact. But I want to challenge you to go even further this year. Because you know what? Saturday only comes around once a week. But your neighbors, they see you every day. Okay? And you know what? We try, you can do small things. Maybe if the neighbor isn't mowing his lawn, you know, the shared lawn, you know, instead of going, oh, that bug, you know, cut his lawn, right? Instead of maybe, take out the lawnmower and do it for him, right? You know, have them over, you know, get some coffee, yeah? Now, I'm not saying it's always easy, you know, so some of my neighbors, you know, I've asked them probably like a dozen times, and I very few times I've been able to get together with them. But you know what? Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy, but he calls us to still be light. And so I want to encourage you. How many of you think that you have neighbors that do not know Jesus Christ? Right? And they desperately, don't know, the Father loves them so much. He loves them so much. Will you share your life? Share the gospel, but share your life too. Because you know what? Sometimes all they need is a tract, and they read it, and they're bam, they're ready, you know, and they will receive the Lord right away. But many times they need to hear, touch, of the gospel a bit at a time. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So you don't have to have immediate people convert to Christ, but you be a step along the way. Okay, got it. That's what we want, right? So share your life. I remember there's this guy, great evangelist, D.L. Moody, and he was a man who loved the Lord. Oh man, and he loved to reach the lost. He was passionate. But he would be criticized many times for his evangelistic methods. People say, oh man, he does too much of this or too much of that, right? And then it was then that Moody replied. He said, you know what? I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it at all. You know? Brothers, sisters, you know what? God is blessing each of you so much. And to those who have been given much, much is expected. You know, that light in your heart, let it shine. Let it shine. On Saturdays, yes. On Sundays, absolutely. But you know what? Every day, the people you see, that if you're a student, if you're at work, you may be the only, you know, the portrait of Jesus Christ that they see all week. Let it count. So that's another goal. Last goal, real quick, is growing your faith. Growing your faith. Two verses I want to look at. Let's read this together. Luke 17, verse 6. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Anybody, when's the last time someone told a mulberry tree to jump in the ocean? Anybody? Okay, no. Okay, you know what? This is a powerful verse because it says, you know what? Faith is pleasing to God. Actually, let me look at the next verse too. Hebrews 11:6. Let's read this real quick. Go. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants faith. And if you want to please God, we have to be a people who have faith, who are exercising faith. But the good thing of the first verse is we don't have to have gallons and gallons of faith. But we need to just have a little bit, and God can start to do miracles. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? I remember two weeks ago, my wife and I, we went out with some of our members of our church, and we drive up and down the freeways of Austin, and we look for people who were kind of hanging out by the bridges, you know, holding up signs, and we saw this one guy. So we pulled in, and we said, hey, you know, let's bring some food for him. And we gave him some food, some water, and we said, bro, is there something we can pray for you? And this guy was kind of in his cane, and he was kind of hobbling. He was trying to, you know, get money, you know, and he saw us, and we asked him, could we pray for you? Because, yeah, just go pray for me. And he just wanted us to bless him. And I said, well, is there some way we can specifically pray for you? And he said, I got hip problem, my knee, that's why I got a cane, you know, I can't walk. And I said, well, have people prayed for you? He says, yeah. He says, yeah, and I believe someday God's going to heal me. And I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, come into my heart. I said to him, you know what, brother, today is going to be that day. I had the faith for that. And I said, and my wife Tina and I, we prayed for him. And after we prayed for him, he was like, oh, yes. And I said, can you try to walk without your cane? And he was like, okay. So he put his cane, he tried to walk a little bit. You know, he walked to the end of the curb. And then he came back. I said, how is it? He says, still kind of stiff. I said, let's pray again. We prayed for him, and then we encouraged him to try to walk. And then after that, we talked a little bit more, and we left. We went to sit in the car. And the funny thing is, we're sitting in a car, and we see him. He's no longer concerned about the sign. You see him just trying to walk back and forth. Walk back and forth. And then, you know, we're waiting for our other team to come back from the other side. And about 5-10 minutes later, we see him pick up everything. And he crossed the street. And then he sees us. He holds up his cane. Praise the Lord! You know? Is our God a mighty God?
Yeah.
Amen. And a little bit of faith can go so far. You know what? So powerful, okay? I want you to think about this, okay? That, you know, faith is not just understanding truth. It includes that. It's not just understanding the Bible. Faith is not just holding on to a truth. Faith is like a spiritual muscle. If you want to build up your faith, you've got to exercise that muscle, right? Anybody here ever kind of lift weights or exercise? Am I the only one? Oh, people, okay, all right, yeah. You, oh, Omar, definitely, okay, he knows that. Okay, yeah. You know what, if you want to grow and you want to build muscle, you can't just lie down and go, okay, God, beef me up, okay? That doesn't work, okay? We need to use our muscles, and you don't have to tear it down, it's rebuilt, bigger, stronger, right? The same way, faith is like that. You can't just say, I believe in Jesus. Okay, that's good. You know, and your faith is going to grow. We need to use our faith. You know, one way I define faith is this. Faith is taking a risk that God is really that good. Taking a risk that God is really that good. Can you imagine if God was as good as what we sing about? Remember we're singing about, bless the Lord, oh my soul? Could you imagine that if you lived your life with 100% certainty, confidence that God is as good as the Word says He is. Can you imagine if you took risk to live that out, what would happen? You know, Satan would be telling you, oh, you just look like a fool, or everyone will reject you. But I tell you, when you step out and you take risk, and these are only risks in the eyes of man. Because when, you know what, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you take a risk, God will honor that. I'm not saying everyone will become a Christian when you share. But you know what? God is going to use that. It will not return void. It is powerful. Right? So I want to encourage you this year, step it up. Step up your game in your faith. Take risks. Okay? That means take steps where you feel uncomfortable. Okay? Maybe you're feeling that spiritual ground. It feels kind of a little bit shaky. Okay? But you take that step. Because you know that's what God is calling you to do. It may not be easy, but God's going to be with you as you take the risks, okay? God is going to be with you. And you know what's going to happen? What's cool? As you take the risk and you see God really is as good as He says He is, the next time you have to step out, you can step out further. Because you know that God was good for that 2 feet. Now He's good for that 4 feet. And you know what? God's going to be building up your faith, building up your muscles so that, you know what? In the beginning, you may be like a 99-pound weak, and you can only bench 50 pounds, okay, by faith. But by the end, God's going to make you a person who can bench 500 pounds, 1,000 pounds, beyond anything you can do, because God is the one who is your strength. Kind of like the song we sang earlier, right? He's the one who is our strength. Do you believe it? Do you believe He's that good? Let me tell you a story that kind of pulls everything together. Ben and I, we're brothers, you know, and I'm actually the older brother, and even though I'm a little smaller than him, you know, but when we were growing up, it was not that way, and I was bigger, and I have a year and a half on him, and you know, year and a half is tricky. When you're only a year and a half different, that means you kind of compete with each other, right, because you're so close in age, but I had enough age difference where, you know, I could take advantage of things, okay? And I know Ben's told you a lot of stories about me that's not all true. You know, we grew up and I think we got along okay, you know, even though there's sometimes some tension. But unfortunately, when we got to college, you know, things really got distant, you know? And I remember we went very different ways. And I remember, I was no angel either, okay? But But I remember Ben went down the path of when he would get a mullet, you know, and he was listening to heavy metal, and he'd come in with this heavy metal, stinky attitude, coming home, and he'd be chain smoker, and he was just, oh, man. Meanwhile, he was in Nebraska, I was in Boston, and I was getting into a lot of bad things myself. Thank you that God saved me. When I was 20 years old, God got a hold of me, even though I didn't want him, you know. But he got a hold of me. He showed me that he loved me so much. And I was learning. It was like I was a baby trying to learn, well, who is this guy? What is he like? And I was learning, but, you know, I remember very clearly listening for God's voice. One of the first things he told me was, you need to pray for your brother Ben. I was thinking, my brother Ben. And I said, man, you know, right now, you know, we don't get along too well. In fact, just last summer, you know, we were at Kenny's Drive-In, and we got this big blowout, and we started just really yelling at each other. And, okay, maybe it was not me, okay? And people inside were coming out, and we almost came to fists, okay? And I said, oh, man, where is this, you know, where could this go? But God said, very clearly, I still, he's like, I want you to put his name on the top of the list, and every morning you pray for him. Okay, yes, Lord. So I started praying for him. And every morning I get on my knees and I pray. You know, the more I prayed for him, the more I could sense how much God loved Benjamin so much. And I just pray and pray. Over a year, I was praying for him. And I'd be trying to share with him, you know, he never like listened to me. I was mean to him anyway. Some of the stories are true, okay? I was a mean brother, okay? And then praise God, once Thanksgiving, yeah? He wanted to come to Boston, and I was working at the time. And so he came and said, oh, thank you, Lord. Here's a chance for me to share the gospel and show love to him. He came over, and we had some good times, but... We had some times when we kind of got mad at each other, you know. I mean, you know, things happen. You raid my refrigerator. I flush your cigarettes down the toilet. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, and you know, we just got mad at each other. And like I said, there's some good times. There are times when God did touch him. But I remember even the last day was Sunday morning. I had to take him to the airport, and it was before church. So I drove him to the airport, and on the way to the airport, we got into another fight. Oh, yeah. And I remember, I dropped him off, and I was driving back to church, and I was thinking, Lord, all those times I prayed, I failed you, Lord. And, you know, that week, it was so easy. I felt like, oh, the voice was like, oh, just give up. You know, you know, your brother will never come to Christ now that you've been so bad to him. But I stepped out in faith, and I said, I'm going to keep praying. God is that good. And I kept praying. And exactly 1 week later, I remember it was Sunday, I got a call from, what's her name?
Marianne.
This lady said, hey, this is Marianne. I'm like, okay. Who is this? She goes, you don't know me, but I know your brother Ben in Nebraska. And today he came to church with me. And the pastor gave a call, shared the gospel, and your brother gave his life to Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, I've asked Ben, you know, later on, many years, I said, Ben, what happened that day? I said, don't you remember how I treated you so bad? He goes, no. I said, oh, thank you. Divine amnesia. but I said, what happened that day? Because I said, because he was a big church, you know, like, oh, plenty of people, TV cameras, right? And Ben, you know, he's not the kind of person who likes to be in front of the camera. And he said that day, when he heard that gospel, he had to go. There's something in his heart, you know? In fact, you told me there's a little lady in front of you. You had to get past her, right? The call of God was so strong in his life, you know? You know, I look back on this, and I praise God. You know, when you set goals this year, you listen for God, okay? You're listening for him, right? If you are a person who shares your life, if you're a person who continues to take risks, you will see God do mighty things. I thank God for my brother Ben. Because you know what? I had lost him as my brother by blood. Because you know what? We didn't love each other at all. But when the time came, God restored my brother. my blood. He's also now my brother by the blood of Christ. He's in death. Let me leave you with this verse here. This verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read together. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. God can do mighty things, new things. Okay? He delights in small beginnings. I want to show you this video, and I wrap it up. This is a video called Free. This is a really good video that talks about how God start small in your life, do new things, and set you free. So, let the Holy Spirit minister to you.
Thank you.
last thought in the prayer. God is the only one to make all things new in your life. If you allow it, God will make things new in the lives of your neighbors, your friends, your family, and even the lost people you don't even know yet. Pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for you, the one who is making all things new. God, and thank you that you do not despise small beginnings, Lord God. Sometimes just a small step of faith is what you're looking for. And you who are the mighty God, the creator of the mighty entire universe, oh God, you are the one who will take that seed and grow something great and bigger than anyone could ever imagine. God, we ask that the kingdom of God would spread far and wide as we step out in faith. God, help us to be a people who listen. Help us to be a people who share our lives. Help us to be a people who take risks that you truly are as good as you say you are. And as we do this, Father, as we do this, God, make things new in us and those around us. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are making all things new. We thank you and pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God all said,
Amen. Amen.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm so proud of my brother. See his heart, his passion for God. And I got to tell you something. I have some confessions to make, you know. But this is way in the past, right, where I remember I went to visit my brother, like he told you, went to visit him in Boston. And I remember he asked me, oh, you want to go to a Bible study group? And I remember I looked at him and said, oh, I get chicks over there or what? So that was my old self, right? And I remember he looked at me going, man, that's not what it's about, you know? And, you know, I got to say, that was my old self. And I remember I had such a big head. I thought, hey, I was Mr. Somebody because, you know, I had this attitude I was carrying around. And like my brother said, I was in a heavy metal music. And I walked around with my chest stuck out thinking, hey, yeah, I'm Mr. Big Shot here, you know? And I remember my brother would try to witness to me the word of God. And I would say, hey, I already know the word because, hey, I go to church on Sunday. But the thing is, I would go to church with a hangover because I'd be drinking with my buddies the night before. And, you know, I would just live like the world. I didn't know Christ. And the reality of it was that I thought I was such a big guy. But I look back now, I realize I had such low self-esteem. I mean, I was doing all these things. I was trying to make like I'm Mr. Big Shot. But, you know, deep down inside, I was hurting. And I thought that as a rebel, I could get some people's attention. I could tell people, hey, yeah, look at me. I'm Mr. Big Shot dude, you know? And I'm living like a rebel because, hey, I'm a bad dude. And you better take notice of me. And, you know, the thing is, I have to tell you, I remember like my brother was telling you about those times where we got into fights. I was always the one initiated. I threw a fist at him many a time. I wanted to hurt him. But I tell you the truth, God has come into my life. He changed me from the inside out. As I took his word, I realized, you know, I want so many people to like me. But I realized as I got in the word, as my brother chose not to give up on me, he continued to pray for me, he continued to show me the word of God, I realized it's not important about the people who like you. It's knowing our Father God, the creator of the universe, loves me.
Thank you, Lord.
And loves you. That is more than what I could ever ask for, knowing my Father God loves me. And God changed me from the inside out. And my brother, he's been such an encourager to me. Every time I had struggles in the beginning when I walked with the Lord, I decided I'm not going to do the things of the world, but still, I somehow slip. Sometimes I get back, and my brother was right there encouraging me. He said, Ben, get back on track. God loves you. And I thank you for my brother. He never gave up on me. Because I don't know, I tell you the truth, I wouldn't give up on myself. It's like, I forget you, you're going to curse me, you're going to do all these things, I'm trying to help you. But my brother, he stuck by me. And I thank my brother that he stuck with me. Because now, yeah, I may try to wave
a hand towards him, but hey, man, it's to hug him.
It's to say I love you, brother.
And that's from my heart, because it's the love of God in me that is able to make me to do that. Make me want to love more and more, because the love of God is in me. And I want to just share it. I want to just tell the whole world about the love of God. And I only can do this because Christ is in me. And I praise Him that He's never given up on me. That my God is for me. And I will serve Him all the days of my life. I want to go ahead and let's bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message you've spoken to my brother Walton today. And I ask you, Lord, continue to pour out your blessings upon him and his family. Lord, I pray wherever he goes, he will experience your holy presence and he will do mighty work into your kingdom. For all of us here, Lord, if we're struggling, Lord, we know, Lord, we have our Father God that continue to lift us up, to give us strength when we need it. We simply cry out the name of Jesus Christ and you are there. And your word tells us you will never leave us. You never will forsake us. You'll always be there for us to fight for us. I know Jesus is always praying for us that we may have the victory as we trust in our Father God. Now, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, you know what? That's me. I've been struggling. I've been thinking that I've been walking with the Lord, and I've been doing the things that makes me a Christian, but I haven't really grown in the things of God. Know that God can start with you today. If you think that your life isn't what God wants it to be, that somehow you're still falling back into the world, know that God says, I will help you. I will get you there. I will strengthen you because you are my child. I'll do this for you because I love you that much. We're never alone in it. We will have the victory, but we must trust in God. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today and you're saying, Lord, help me. I need your help because I want to live victoriously. I want to live a most blessed life. God says, I have it for you. Just hold on to me and don't let go. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and you know, you're ready to say, Lord, my life is all yours. Can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. Lord, come in. Show me the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you see all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts. The hearts. The hearts you look at, Lord. And you say to us, you give me your heart, I'm going to give you all of me. And as the Lord God comes and fills you up, overflowing of his goodness, know that we will not be a people that will carry ourselves with our heads down. No, we're going to bring our heads up knowing that we are victorious in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that your strength will come. Your power will be ever so overflowing in your people's lives. And I pray, Father God, as they continue on this path, Lord, that you have laid out for them, I pray, Lord, they're going to walk into one victory, one blessing after the other. As they trust in you and as they believe in you. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Knowing, Lord, you're going to bring it because we simply love you and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard about people talking, saying I can have a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you pray a simple prayer, but you got to mean it from your heart. And if you truly mean it, know that God is listening right now because he loves you that much. And if you cry out to him, he will come. And he's going to show himself strong in your life. If you hear the Father's voice today, you hear the Holy Spirit's voice. The Bible says, do not deny him. Because if you deny him, he will deny you. But if you come to him with your whole heart, he will come and receive you into his family. And you're going to experience the holy presence of God. And you're going to see his power being displayed in your very own life. And if you're ready, you're saying, Lord, I want to come to you. If you want to say yes to Jesus, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Can you raise your hand and say, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ into my life. I want to make him Lord, God, and King. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Raise your hand up high and say, that's me, Lord. That's me, Lord. I want more. I want more of you. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray it together. Let's pray it as a family. Really mean it from your heart. Because God knows your heart. And just pray it together and say, Lord, I mean business. I want my whole life to belong to you. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray it together. Say, Father God, I need you.
I
give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
Who
died for me on the cross.
But on the third day,
he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him.
And I live for him only. In Jesus' name I pray. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen. Amen.